It's Comedy Shoeshine.
I've recently entered the level of fat as a man where you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's not fun to suck dick at something. That's not... And furthermore...
Unless it's a dick sucking contest.
Yeah. No, even then, I don't want to suck dick at it.
Are there ventriloquists that aren't comedians? Are there serious ventriloquists?
It's time for a Comedy Shoe Shine.
With Sandra Thomas.
Listen up.
Hello and welcome to Comedy Shoe Shine, episode 173, I think. How's it going, Sam?
Yeah. Good.
I'm echoier than usual because Phoebe is in bed and can't record in the office that has to be right next to her because it's the only two rooms in the house that work. So got a decent microphone for just like USB, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
I recorded in Chicago with it. And obviously, it's like sounds like just as good as my multi-million dollar setup. It's funny. It's the best.
Yeah.
What's new with you?
Man, jeez. Oh, where do I even start? Yeah, well, we didn't record last week.
True.
It feels like we did. Like, it's only been a week because I was doing all kinds of stuff. But sorry, everybody. I think we had one person notice, so...
Yeah,
we have one listener at least.
Actually, our only actual fan is Lydia, and so she gets upset.
She's
when
like,
we
"What
don't
the
record.
Hell?"
Yeah, but she understood because you were busy. You had like a massive work thing, but
yeah.
Also, God, it sucks because for once, you know, oftentimes I'm sure we have a bunch of new listeners because we just get new listeners all the time. New listeners, we always make fun of, or not always, but one thing we do is. Point out when commercials are really shitty, and I had like three and I can't play them on this setup, so I might do one and just describe it. We'll see. But anyway,
just speaking of commercials, have you noticed that my Sonic guys are like, I don't know if they're being replaced or just phased out or what's happening.
Way.
Are they like gonna split time? But it's like the girl from The Office that was the I'm so bad at that. Kimmy Schmidt or whatever, Unbreakable.
Oh,
is that her?
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she's funny. And then I think the other one's the girl from your show you like that I don't like, the with Tracy Morgan, and she's like,
oh,
the,
Tina Fey. Oh, the blonde girl.
Blonde.
Yeah,
one, yeah,
yeah. She's also great, actually. So wait, they're replacing them or something, or they're just adding them on?
They've just had commercials with them now.
Oh my god!
And like not the guys. And I'm like, oh okay. And they're not funny, so. And I don't think it's
you
just because I hate women.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I like both of those women, and I would be totally happy for them to do any other commercials, but a sacred, cultivated character, you know, of comedy. They took...
It's like 10 years of establishing
years
those characters.
Into this brilliant, you know, just absolutely mind-blowing character. Like, just, we know his story, we know him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they're replacing him or not. Just I've seen the other girls and it's like it's the same jokes, but it's just I think it might work better if you didn't already know those actresses or whatever, you know, from what they already
that's
do.
That's true.
Then,
yeah. The two guys, you don't really know, especially when they started, they're just two nobodies.
Yeah. And that's what makes it great. Cause those are the Sonic guys. So you just believe that.
I mean, they're better
guys
than Laurence Olivier in terms of acting. Like they're, they're not nobodies in acting wise. I don't mean to say that, but like, you don't recognize them. So they're able to play nobody kind of, you know, how in Lord of the Rings, they were like, oh, we don't want to have like any famous actors really play these people. Cause it's going to be too distracting. It's like that.
But Star Wars was so good. The first Star Wars.
Right. The first new one or. The original.
The original.
Well,
that
had freaking what's his name in it?
He wasn't
Darth
that
Vader.
Oh, yeah. His voice.
No, I was joking. Like,
oh, yeah.
That had the actor Darth
that's
Vader.
True.
He had done a lot of work by then. No, Alec Guinness. Are you kidding me? But no, I guess it fits because he's like a, you know.
Most of the characters were on, like Luke and Leia and Yoda.
Yeah.
Even Harrison Keeler, he wasn't very... he had just started his radio thing.
Yeah, that's true. Was that the beginning of Harrison Keeler?
Yeah. Well, he did the... He was in the car, American Graffiti, I think, before that.
You barely even saw him in that. So yeah, I guess it was kind of the beginning of him. That's interesting. Well, anyway, that all those are brilliant analysis of why the Sonic commercials are irreplaceable, and you can't just... You just can't replace decades of hard work and character development. You can't do it.
Yeah. What I noticed about it was when I saw the first time, I was like, okay. Yeah. Just, they're just going to do one. And just like, you know, guest jokers.
Yeah. Like guest maybe comedians. Those two actresses are such big fans of the commercials. They're like, let's just do, just like a tribute band, kind of like a cover band.
Just to show our appreciation for this.
they're going to have like multiple different actors show their appreciation for really the people who are doing the real acting in Hollywood, which is the Sonic guys.
Yeah. And then I think I saw a second commercial of theirs. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to be the exact thing that, you know, is the worst of a person who's like, I don't want these women taking over my men's roles. So I had to try to not feel like that, but it's impossible.
If they did want it with those guys, can't those dudes, guys? Yeah, it would be the same thing.
I mean, I'm for all everything being perfectly equal, except for the Sonic guys. Just keep to they get those parts. No, nobody can replace them.
Yeah. No, anyway. I agree. That's
they're like white men. It's like a perfect like.
It is. There's no way to salvage this in any sort of like politically correct way. It's just But it's not about that. It's about those specific. It's like I'm all for. I was just gonna make. A joke that makes no sense in our lives, but it's like, I'm all for, you know, women's rights and everything, but I don't want my dad to be like a different person. And then I was like, wait, actually I do. Why am I? Never mind.
Yeah.
If either of those actresses want to play my dad, that would be fine. Be fine. All
right. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Man, what to talk about? Okay. I got to talk about something that's on my mind that you probably won't give a shit about, but I think you might actually at least, see where I'm coming from on this. Do you know the White House Correspondents' Dinner? You know that whole thing?
Yeah, I know kind of what it is, yeah.
Yeah, every year they go through this whole rigmarole. And it's already stupid. Like, it's just a stupid thing.
Yeah, it is. Like, I'm glad you said that.
No, it's definitely stupid. There have been people who've given really good, funny performances at it. Like, and I love Larry Wilmore, like, 2 or 3 years ago. God, it was so good. And like some of the Obama ones originally were really good, but it's just
when he was a reporter.
Yeah, no, his writers wrote him really good jokes, and he's the best president ever at delivering a joke, which means he can kind of deliver a joke. So he was good, and I liked it, and I would watch it for that reason. But like, if you took away that, it's the stupidest fucking thing. It's a bunch of people. It's a bunch of journalists. In this day and age when every journalist is getting everything like fucked up and like not doing things right, it's a bunch of journalists just celebrating themselves, which even in the best of times would be like, okay, this is whatever. It's just a big jerk off motion. But like if you have, you know, a funny comedian, then, it could be funny because they usually make a really good, it's like watching a really good, I don't know, SNL monologue where somebody makes a lot of good current events jokes. And a lot of the people be in the room. So that's kind of funny sometimes.
Because isn't it also supposed to be a little bit of like a roast of the president a little bit? Like a little bit kind of.
Well, traditionally, a little bit, I guess so, huh? Like, because the president
like
would
to humanize
actually go.
The president a little bit. Like, oh, you're just a guy we can make fun of. Or
right.
Make a joke.
The president would go and then they'd probably make a few jokes about him while he was there. And So whatever. Not a big deal. But. Obviously, the last two, Trump has decided he's not participating because he doesn't have a sense of humor, obviously, and can't take a joke. I don't think he can reconcile his consciousness with the fact that everyone fucking hates him. Like, that's information that can't go into his brain. So he's like, I'm not going to do that.
Well, plus, I mean, just devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Is that his whole thing is that, like,
true.
It's all fake news.
You're right.
So if he did that, his supporters would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
You're totally right. He can't go support the media in any way. He could only go to a Fox News convention or something like that.
He can only call in and rant for 30 minutes.
Oh my god, did you hear that? Sam doesn't pay attention to politics, which is why I ask all this, but nothing beats, and I know everyone's already made this joke, I'm not saying I thought of this, but It's think of how fucking mind-blowing it is that after 30 to 40 minutes of ranting, these Fox News morons are like, all right, well, we know you have a lot to do to the president of the United States. God, think about that in any other time period in history. God, like JFK's on the phone and some like jackoffs on the radio are like, okay, all right. We know you got a lot to do, Mr. Kennedy. You're real busy over there. So they're trying to get him off the phone like he's an old relative. God, it's unbelievable. Like, unbelievable how mind-blowing that is. That would have been in a movie 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and we would have said, like, that's the fucking stupidest. That's too ridiculous for a movie. Like, you can't. He's the president. Like you would ever be on the phone on a show with the president and be, like, trying to shoo him away. God, it's amazing. But anyway, he's so amazing. all that is great. But no, you're actually right. That could be also why he's not doing the thing. But either way, I also think he can't take a joke and could not be there for him being made fun of. And also, he hates it because, I don't know if you know this, but like some people think, actually a lot of people in the know think that one of the big inspirations for running for president was when he was made fun of at the Obama one, went because they made fun of him for doing the stupid birth certificate stuff, which he obviously deserved because he's a fucking racist for thinking Obama wasn't born here. Anyway, all that is to say, we know the shtick. It's a bunch of journalists who are going to pat themselves on the back. And then for some reason, 20 minutes of it is a comedy show. Like for the rest of it is like, here's an award for whatever. I've seen like bits and pieces, but they're usually, you know, they'll honor, you know, they have like the Watergate guy there to talk about something, you know, like different journalists, whatever. No, it's nothing anyone cares about. But they do this 20 minutes. It's a kind of a roast. And this year, I guess it just happened probably today or yesterday or something, because I watched the video of this comedian, Michelle something. I forget her name, but I just watched the whole thing like literally minutes ago. So I have to talk about it. And It was funny. I laughed at it. I thought she made good jokes, and you know, it was just like watching a funny stand-up set. And the thing that bugs me so much about this is it's the same every fucking year, and these dumbass fucking asshole journalists can never take a joke. Never. Like some of them can. You'll hear laughter in the room, but if you go back, everybody go back and watch Larry Wilmore's one, which I thought was so funny. And he made fun of everybody. Like, he made fun of kind of both sides and, you know, like this was, I guess, the last year of Obama. So it wasn't quite Trump yet, or maybe Trump. Yeah, crap. Yeah, no, whatever. But no one laughs. Like, they can't even, you'll see fucking Wolf Blitzer there just like stone face. Like, he can't, do they not know by now that this is what it is? Like, either do the event or don't do the stupid event. Don't do the event, invite a roasty comedian, and then sit there all like, oh, well, my word, I cannot believe the joke, you know? So that is just fucking bothering me so much. And then even if that weren't enough, because that happens every year, this year, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was like there. She was like sitting, not only was she in attendance, she was like, I guess, an honored guest for some reason. I still don't know what that's about, because she was sitting at a table like, by the podium, you know, like on the same level as the podium. And so naturally the comedian starts making fun of her because fuck her, she's the worst. And she doesn't even say anything that bad. Like she, you know, she calls her a liar a bunch of times, which is totally fine because she's a complete liar and everybody knows it. Like it's not, there's nothing there. But she said something that was like, I didn't even really get the joke, but she said like, she turns lies into a perfectly crafted smoky eye. Or something. And I guess that is a reference to her makeup. And it's okay. The joke is nothing, A, that's nothing. But now everybody, including even some fucking liberals, are giving in to this talking point of like, well, you went after her looks. That's too much. That's too far. You can't go after her looks. And the comedian's like, I said she has good eye makeup. I just, like, what are you talking about? And people are fucking buying into this. And it's driving me nuts. If you can't elect a racist asshole to be president who says, you know, any which thing about horrible, everything horrible, and then like try to get into a fake outrage about someone saying a perfect smoky eye, and then somehow that's insulting. It's just, it's so fucking aggravating. I can't even, the worst is, it's not like these people get laughed out of it. Like if that was just what Republicans did, like Republicans said, oh, you've gone too far. My word. And then everyone was like, ah, okay, that's funny because you elected Trump, so we don't give a shit about your opinion. That would be fine. Like whatever, Republicans are Republicans. But like some mainstream people will give into this dumbass like fake outrage. And it's nothing makes me more angry because it's so unfair. But anyway, that was just on my mind. I had to talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, she's funny. It's decent. Decent 20-minute stand-up bit. Anyway, what's up? What's up over there?
Well, I hadn't done a softball update for a zillion years, so I thought I should.
Yeah, do it.
I can't remember if I've mentioned this season at all on the show. This season of Laura Softball.
Yeah, don't spoil it. I'm still on last season.
Yeah. But if you'll remember last season, maybe two seasons ago. Shit, I can't remember. No, it was last season. Last spring season, I think it was.
This was the dominating team that just murdered your daughter's
No.
team?
No. Yeah. Yeah. My daughter was on the worst team ever, and I called the league and found out that they don't. Just like put all the girls on the worst team ever so they get their asses kicked. And so then what happened was, we had the winter league, which is like a more, I don't know why, like most of the girls that play in the spring don't do the winter league. Hmm. It's not, you don't have to be picked for it or anything. Like anybody can play, but she happened to get on a good coach's, you know, there's one, they only had one coach cause they only could field one team for the winter league stuff. And so we did that and, he turned out to be a really good coach. And so she learned a ton and the team was really good. And like, she's still like the worst on the team, but, it was much better. And so then this season in the spring version, that coach said like, oh, I'll have Laura on my team. Like we have, you know, we're
going to. Right. So it's kind of a good way to get an in with an actual team kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's what's been going on this year. So there's been a lot of rain out. So there's only been maybe like five games or whatever. But so this year they just beat the shit out of every team they play. So now we're just on the other side of it where.
Wow.
My daughter's team is now the team that kicks the shit out of every team they play against. And they had a game the other day where like, they played this, you know, a new team, new coach and all this stuff. And it was like, I think it was even worse than the contrast the season before where this team was worse than my daughter's team was last year. Jesus. And my daughter's team is better than any team that they played last year. I was talking to the other guy, like there's some parents that we, you know, when all that was going down last year that I would talk to that kind of felt the same as like, how is this possible and all this stuff. And I was talking to him and I was like, this is worse. Yeah. Like at least when they sucked. Yeah. There was some hope that like they're going to, you know, they'll get better or, you know, when you're playing against someone that's better, it's kind of more fun. I don't know. Cause you're like, if you ever can score a couple runs, it feels like an accomplishment or she, you know, and if she ever got a hit or something. So they just beat the team 1,000-0. And there's a girl on the coach's daughter is the one of the pitchers and she's just incredible.
Yeah, that's always how it is.
Yeah. And so there was just one point in the game where a girl on the team that was terrible went up there and like, there's just no chance they can hit it. Like the girl pitches so fast that these girls, whatever they're doing in practice or whatever other teams they're playing, like there's just no chance they can hit the ball. So they go up there and strike out and their parents are watching and they're crying. The parents are like trying to tell them it's okay. It's just the stupidest fucking setup.
So dumb.
It's so, I call, you know, like I don't, and they said, oh, next season, don't worry, next season it's the draft thing where the teams are more even. And I'm still just like, why would you set it up so that the first 2 years of a kid playing baseball is you're either on this team that's an elite team that kicks the shit out of everybody, or you get your ass kicked the whole time. I would rather they did that when they were 14, you know, or 12 or whatever. That almost makes more sense. Like, okay, they got to play their even times and now we figured out who is good and who isn't. And if you know, it's dog eat softball dog now that they're 10 or whatever. So the thing I was going to say is that what was pissing me off is my daughter's team's on defense, you know, and she gets to play first. And I was like, oh, you know, because you know, in baseball, if you're not pitching, you're not trying. Now, if you're not
pitching or catcher or the batter, you're doing nothing.
You're doing nothing. Yeah. A distant fourth would be first base like any
sometimes,
player.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So she played first base for, I think, 3 innings in a row. No balls were hit in play. So
right, because you got Nolan Ryan pitching. So
yeah. So she just stands there at first for three innings and does nothing. And then when they hit, the girls from the other team throw the ball in the dirt 100 times. Dude, I took a video because I was showing my other friend of the pitcher, not to make fun of the pitcher. It's not her fault. It's just like the other team's pitcher just would literally roll the ball on the ground. Like she'd go to pitch and it would land halfway between her and plate and roll across home plate over and over and over and over and over again. It's like, well, how is this? I don't know. What my question is, like, let's say you or me, anybody, sure, you're charged, like you wake up one morning for some reason. You've been like
cursed with someone put a hex on you and you have to figure out a softball league for 9 years.
Yeah, someone says you're the new commissioner of 8 and under softball.
It's like a little like sprite like pops up like like coily in the Mystery Science Theater thing.
How could you do any worse than this? Like, no, how could you?
The worst possible.
If you were running the league and you looked at all the teams and you watched the games and you're like, yeah, this is fine. This is my league. Or, you know, I'm not my league, but like, I'm in charge of how the teams get put together, who the coaches are, the practices, the everything. Like, and this is the result of this. Like, they have resources. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this is only the result of complete laziness and like you just didn't bother. And so then naturally,
why even do it then? Yeah. Like, what are you even doing? I don't understand. What I want to call the guy and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what is are you proud of yourself? Like, what is your job? What is what metrics do you have to meet? Is there anything going on here at all? Cause I could, if it was a one-off year where it's like, you know what? It's just happened that like, it was weird. Like we got all these new families that moved in and like all these people knew each other. And yeah, that we got to, now that that happened, you know, in 2017, like we had to restructure this whole thing. Cause that can't happen again. We can't have 4 teams that can't get a hit and get murdered every game and 4 teams that kill everybody. No, they don't do anything about it. It all just switches around to the next group of people who know each other and beat the shit out of every other team.
You
it's
just have
stupid.
To do a fucking draft. You just got to do a draft. That's as simple as that.
It's
the only thing that's fair. And I'm 100% with you that that's worse. The murdering every team, especially when you feel like, when you feel like your daughter is, you know, do you think she's the worst player on the team?
No, she's now probably in the middle.
Okay, that's not so bad. But I was going to say, especially if you feel like she's not even getting a chance to like improve because
she's not.
There's nothing happening. You just the no hitter. And then walk. Like there, you're not playing. Nothing's happening. You're not doing, you know what I mean? There's no softball being had. That's nothing.
Yeah. That's the stupidest fucking thing.
If you're on the garbage team, you can be like, well, maybe you'll learn how to hit off of Nolan Ryan. You know, maybe you'll get a hit. It'll be amazing.
Well, that's the thing too. Well, the next thing I was going to get to is, so I mentioned this before, but you know, if you didn't hear it before, I don't know if you remember, but last year after the season when she was on the worst team and was one of the worst players, they had the all-star tryouts for the league. And she somehow decided like she was going to go do the all-star tryouts, even though she had no chance of making it. And I was like really proud of her because she went out and did it and of course didn't get on the team. So I get an email last week that's like, so based on whatever and always trying to improve things around here, we've decided that this year there will be no all-star tryouts. Instead, any girl that wants to be considered for the all-star team just has to like mention, like, I think they have to put it in writing or an email that they want to be considered for the all-star team. And then once all the girls that do that, then the coaches are going to like have a meeting and talk about each girl that wants to be considered. And they're all going to together choose the all-star team. And I was just thinking like, how could this be taken as anything other than more trying to manipulate who's an all-star? Like it, And on top of that, like, cause we were talking, some of the moms and some of the dads were kind of talking and the moms were like, oh, I like it better. Cause, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah, me and this other dad were like, I don't think it's better because the only thing that matters really is like whatever experience the kids are trying to get out of it, like whatever they learn out of it really at this point. And so I was saying how the only thing last year that was cool is that my daughter said, I know I'm not good or whatever, but I'm going to go for it and like try out. And then on top of that, she sees other girls that are trying out and how good they are and like what skills they have and can go, oh, okay, this is how good I am. This is how good,
this is what I should work on or something like that.
Yeah. This is best case scenario. More likely kids think they're good. And no matter what, you could give them fucking a presentation for 2 hours on all the skills that they're inferior at. And then they just ignore it. But I think some kids can actually see that, like, this girl's hitting the ball like in the outfield and I'm hitting it to on the ground 10 yeah. feet or whatever, you know. So they've gotten rid of that. So there's none of that anymore. Like, I can't be proud of her for going for it. And then on top of that, if someone gets selected for the All-Star team, they're just going to, you know, make it in the room in a meeting or whatever. And then you don't see, like, was that girl better than me? I don't know. I never saw, like, we played her team one time and I saw, it's like, why do they have to fucking, this whole thing?
Is, yeah, there's the whole no thing way to just, think it's fair, you know, like, there's yeah. no way to. Yeah.
What is the benefit of that? I'm trying to think. Like, know. You get, were kids getting humiliated at the tryouts or like.
Maybe.
I don't understand what it is. But so where I was going with that, too, is that this All-Star team thing, which I don't fucking care. I don't know if I want her to do it anyway, because even if she made it, they have to play another like 6 weeks. It's pointless. But since she's on a super team and all the other teams suck, what do you think the likelihood is that they're going to say, oh, 10 girls from the super team are All-Stars and nobody from the other team? Like, they're going to pick one girl from each of the other teams, obviously, because they can't, you know, right. otherwise
I was
going like to
say, going down a similar line of thinking, I was thinking, well, when is she ever displaying any skills if there's no games are happening?
Yeah, well, just hitting. They don't get to really do anything in the field. But yeah, if I cared about that and I was like, oh, I really want my daughter to play on All-Stars, it'd be blah, blah, blah. She's not getting any practice in the games. There's no fielding happening. There's no pitching. Because when you get to the All-Star games, they play other All-Star teams from around the area, I think. And they're all going to have pitchers that have rocket laser arms. So the whole season they've been playing against girls that roll the ball on the ground to them. And then all of a sudden they have to, you know, play against real. It's just the whole thing is so fucking dumb.
Yep.
There's nothing about it is good at all. It's all terrible. All of it sucks. It's just, I don't know. I've really like, I was really into it last season, trying to figure it out and trying to get her better. And this year I just don't give a shit. It's just, it's really hard to care about it because the whole thing's stupid. Whole thing is fucking stupid.
Oh man, that's the worst.
Even when she's finally on a team
that's
better, it's just like it's just
as bad.
People, it doesn't matter how small of a, you know, stage it is, everything is rigged for a certain way for people who are running the thing. They don't, you know, not, I don't think that everyone's against my daughter exactly, but they definitely have their coaches that are friends that have been in the league that coached, you know, before with their kids. See, like every time a person has a kid and he's a coach, as they're coming up through the ranks, they coach them, you know, and then once they're too old, then they move down to their next kid. And they just, that's what the whole thing is, no matter where you are.
Yeah, I think the key is the only people who give a shit are the ones who have the kids that are really good or what something or coaching them or whatever. So like nobody, you would need, for this to happen, you'd need some like third party, so like some saintly person who just cares about the integrity of the league. It's like... Yeah, here's what I'm going to say and do so that, or here's what I'm going to make you guys do so that it's, you know, it's more fair for the sake of this league that nobody gives a shit about because it's just made up of parents and coaches
who no one cares.
It's never going
to. But I'm surprised in this day and age that no one has just gone to the, and just punched the guy in the face and been like, fuck you, this thing, this fucking sucks. My daughter comes home crying after every game because they could make it to where girls that just couldn't play at all, at least they were playing in mixed teams where they could feel like, oh, I'm not the worst thing that ever lived.
Yeah.
It's depressing to watch these girls like go up and try to hit. One girl got hit in the arm like by a really fast pitch. And I'm just like, why are we letting this happen? Girl gets nailed in the arm that had no chance of ever getting a hit. And then she's all crying and her arm's like broken in half. And like, is this, these are just like people that are fed to the elite people, like they're just like slaves almost, like, you know, like it's really not that far from, you know, Rome or whatever, where they just have people go and get eaten by lions and everyone cheers. Like, that's what it's like. It's not that far from that. It's like this pretend thing of like, oh, everyone's out here just learning and having a good time.
Right and yeah, you know, the parents of the good team have to make all that bullshit, like,
yeah, it's really depressing. The whole thing is just depressing. I thought in the area that I was in and people were, you know, more enlightened that they would, I don't know, fuck. There's just not enough time and energy in the world to try to fix everything.
Yep.
So I'm just mad at it by myself on the sidelines.
Oh man. Speaking of kind of that sort of, I am a dead body right now because I did Ravi Glanz power skating. I just signed up for like a month ago. I saw an email from the rink that I play hockey at that was like, oh, Robbie Glantz power skating clinic thing. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that because I just taught myself how to play hockey pretty much. I mean, I guess we did a few of those classes, but that was really just like, okay, here's how you break out the puck, and nobody even does that. We don't even do that properly in the real games anyway. Nobody really, you know, I just kind of taught myself the skating and the shooting and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, I'm going to take this skating clinic. And so, and then when the time comes, of course, I'm like, why the fuck did I sign up for a fucking skating clinic? God, yeah. All I want to do is just be done doing things. But it's, I don't know if it's good or bad because I just schedule more things and I just always have things all the time. And then I'm like, oh, this is a good idea. And then I hate it. But anyway, it ended up being fun. I had a friend who was there. It was kind of fun to do it with. But a couple things about Robbie Glantz International Power Skating.
Man, I was hoping to hear all the things.
Yeah, well, I should just do a separate series on it, but yeah. For one thing, it's, you know, it's all ages, so we got, and it was mostly kids. You know, there was probably 10 adults, so it wasn't like I was the only. That would have been totally embarrassing if I was like the one adult at this thing and then a bunch of kids. I would have just fucking left 100%. But no, there's like 10 adults and then there's just a bunch of kids. And the one thing that's funny is like, God, I'm really curious to see if I can get any of my kids to play hockey. I'll be interested. And then I'll be very curious if it's the same kind of bullshit you're going through with softball, or if, because I don't know, there's not as many hockey players. It's all done like through one rink. Maybe they'll do a draft. Maybe they'll figure out a good way to actually do it. I don't know. But anyway, what's funny about Robbie Glantz International Power Skater is he, well, first off, he's
nothing. It's all serious. Yeah.
It's deadly serious. Nothing's funny about it.
Yeah.
No, like he's got a microphone. He's telling everybody what to do on the ice, you know, and he's got to go through the PA because you can't hear shit on the ice. So he's got that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And he's got 1,000 kids to control. And he's got, I don't know if it's volunteers or people he's paid, but essentially really good high school level players to kind of help him do the clinic. And his whole time, the whole time, his bit was like, he's telling them what to do and they're not quite doing it right. And it's, oh, I got to tell them 3 times. That was his only joke the entire time, was like telling them to do stuff and they're not quite doing it right. Yeah, it's funny. But what amazes me is, and what reminded me of it with the softball thing, is just like, I don't know if I'm ready for this world where if you're going to get any group of kids to do anything, you have to just yell at them the entire time. Like I'm sure all the parents listening already know this, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's just interesting to me to be reminded, as someone who doesn't have kids that are that old yet, I don't have a baby, you just yell at them the entire, you can't just say, hey, go, you three, go over there. You three, go over there. It's, you three, go over there. You three, go over there. Go over there. Go, you three, go, just for the same, just for an hour, for every single thing. God, it's unbelievable. I don't know how we put up with it. It's how does anyone do that? How does that guy do that? Like, he did a pretty good job. And what I loved about it is, you know, these are little kids in little hockey pads, which is awesome. But he would just like, just for no reason, he'd just like shove them over. Like, he would just tackle a kid, you know, in a horseplay kind of way. Just, I mean, they're all in pads. It was just fun. And that part I did like about it. He would just be like, hey, just kind of, or he'd like, you know, if a kid was on one knee, he would just like kind of use his stick and like take their leg out and they'd fall over just as a joke. It was fun. Everybody loved it. Awesome. It was a good time. But anyway, I'm
slit a guy's throat with a blade.
So I did 3 fucking hours of skating last night. Of not just skating, by the way. This is Robbie Glantz power skating.
And that's misleading.
Yes, no, I shouldn't have even said that. But here was the thing. So it turned out to be the same fucking time as the Sharks Vegas game.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I'm a master of not getting things spoiled for me. I do every possible technique and maneuver you could do to not get a score spoiled for me. I do, to the extent of, if I'm going to be somewhere, you know, like during a game and I record the game, the game, I will like look, like if I'm going to wear something and I pull out a shark shirt, I'm like, no, I'm not going to pull that out. I'm going to wear not a shark shirt because I don't want some stranger to just see the Sharks. Hey, did you hear about the game? It's 5-4. You know, like I'm not going to risk it. I'm taking every conceivable thing I can think of to make me not hear the score or see it. I turned off my phone the other night. That was fucking weird. Oh, I was going to talk about that. Anyway, and normally when I go play games at the rink, it's actually no big deal. I just walk in. I don't look at the TV's usually on, but I just avoid that. And then I play the game and no one's keeping track of the game on the fucking ice. And then I just jump out of there as fast as I can before anyone looks at their phone and says, oh, here's what's happening with the Sharks game. And, but this time it was a little different because of fucking Robbie Glantz power skater. And he had to, I thought I was going to be fine. I was like, oh, we'll just do this and whatever.
Robbie Glantz's power skating and spoilers clinic. Yeah.
Shark spoilers. But what I didn't count on was him doing lectures and being like talking about all the players he's coached, you know, cause he's coached every player, you know, he's skate coached a bunch of Sharks. And then he's, oh, speaking of, what's the score of the Sharks game? And you got, you know, 30 parents sitting on the benches. Just
did he
watching.
Seriously say that?
Yep.
Oh my
and,
God.
And then he's like, do you want, and then he said to Robbie Glantz's credit, I know a lot of, you know, you come here for my opinions on Robbie Glantz power skater. You can actually find it. Google him. He goes on NHL Network all the time. Like you can see the guy I'm talking about. He looks a little like Joe Pesci and sounds just like the Sharks radio voice, which is hilarious. When he's barking,
we all know.
Yeah, whom you all know, Dan Rusinowski. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Scar. No, he said that he was like, oh, what's the guy? I was like, no. And I think he said like, oh, or is anybody DVRing it? And I was like, oh, yes, he actually cares. I was like, yeah, don't. I like skated away. I was like, just ran away from the group. And then there had to be a big thing, obviously. Like it was okay. And then So he's like, you know, plug your ears. Somebody tell me the score. I was like, okay. So I did. I was like, fucking went away and plugged my ears. And then he tells a bunch of kids, okay, don't tell him the score. And I was like, great. You told a group of fucking shitty kids not to do something. All they're going to do is that. And so I was dreading it. But somehow, I guess because another quality of kids is they're so scatterbrained that they instantly were on to the next whatever thing. Nobody told me the score. And actually, so the whole thing was ruined. Like the whole night, 3 hours was just me dreading someone telling me the score. That's all. Yeah. Because this is, I mean, nobody relates to this. Like literally no fucking person relates to this.
No.
This is the playoffs. We're in round two of the goddamn playoffs. All I want to do is watch the game and not know what happens. That's all. Like it's like, nothing is more fun to me, or I don't even know if that's the right word. Like nothing is more important to me. Nothing is more important to me than watching the Sharks. And let alone, like, if I get a regular season game spoiled, that also hurts, like, almost just as bad. But I guess, but at least it's whatever. It's
just as bad.
Pretty much. Pretty much exactly as bad. But I can at least be like, okay, whatever. There's another regular season game on in a couple days, and I'll still watch it because, well, it would be fun. But it's the fucking playoff. Like, every game is so important. So important. And so.
Yeah, game two of the playoffs, and they're down 1-0. Like,
yeah. Oh, and I mean,
huge game.
Yeah, it was a pretty big game. Like, they got murdered in the worst possible way in game one. So I actually had a little bit of faith in them. I was like, well, likely they're just going to get their asses kicked. But I could see, I don't know. I've been watching them long enough. I feel like, I don't know if it's coaching or what, but I feel like they're pretty good at rebounding after something like that. And I was like, I held out a little faith. And then as the thing was over, you know, I got all the way through it. No one had said anything. The thing's over. And a mom comes like blaring through the side toward the locker. Like I'm just trying to get to the locker room. I'm trying to book it to the fucking locker room and get my stuff off and just go home as fast as I can. And a mom's like, oh, the Vegas, like just right, just blaring through, even though everybody's going to go 10 feet to the TV and see it because there's a TV right outside the, you know, the rink. And no, so I plug my ears, but I was pretty sure I heard that Vegas won. And so I was so fucking pissed, obviously. And so I go home, like, well, I got to watch the game, whatever. They were going to win anyway. And I start watching the game and it's like the Sharks are doing really well. And like they were leading the game the whole time. I was like, what did the Vegas? So the whole time I'm puzzled. And then, God, it was amazing. They blew it at the end. So Jones missed a really easy save and tied the game. I was like, oh, okay, this is how they lose because they tied it for no fucking reason. But then it goes to overtime. I was like, gosh, this is getting to the point where we're almost to when this would have been and they haven't lost yet. So what's going on? And then Vegas scores a goal to win And I was like, oh, okay, that's what happened. I got it. I was spoiled. Somebody spoiled it for me. I'm mad. And then they're doing the challenge. And I was like, God, that's not a goal, because the guy interfered with the fucking goalie. But in my mind, I'm like, I know they won. There's yeah. I was so mad. I was planning like a domestic act of terrorism, because I was sure that this call wasn't going to get overturned, even though it was clearly goaltender interference. I was like, what? I was going out of my mind. And then the call comes back and the ref's like, no goal. And I was just like, what is happening? And it turned out that I guess someone had said they won because they thought they did. But then that call got overturned. And then we were at the point of the game where it was past when I left the rink, you know, time wise. And I was yeah. I was out of my mind. I was like, now I don't know what's going to happen. I have no fucking idea. This is the greatest thing in the world. And so I watched the second overtime period. There's the most joyous thing in the world. Like, it's the best experience of my life, because I didn't know who was going to win. And then the Sharks fucking won. God.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to tell a story of the best day of my goddamn life. God, it was amazing. But anyway, the other part of the story is, after doing 3 hours of Robbie Glenn's power skating, and then waking up in the morning and doing three more fucking hours of power skating, I don't
personal have... personal one-on-one power skating. Yeah,
I don't have legs. Like, I can't move or do anything. I'm just... my hip flexors and like my groin are hurting so bad, I'm never walking again. So I hope it was worth it to get like 1 day or 2 days of like technique so that I could never fucking play again.
Robbie Glantz's career ending skating.
Yeah. Robbie Glantz's, why are you kidding yourself that you could do things that you used to be able to do as a kid, power skating.
Yeah.
God, so funny. And then it's also funny the way you get treated as an adult, like you treat adults and kids differently, you know, because it's like people, you know, you bark around at the kids, you order them around. I'm really interested in this when my kids get old or when my, you know, when they're doing sports. Because like, I don't know about you, but nothing was more terrifying than the basketball coaches. They were the most terrifying people in the world. Like if they said to shoot a guy, I would have done it probably.
Yeah. Football coaches maybe more.
Well, yeah, but we didn't do that.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure that's probably true, but you and I just did basketball, right? And we probably had the same three fucking guys, didn't we? The Zilkies or whatever.
Oh yeah, okay.
In elementary
school. I thought you were talking about high school basketball.
No, I didn't play high school basketball. I'm talking about because by the time it's high school, I mean, yeah, they're still terrifying, but you're a little older and you're like, whatever.
No, the varsity coach is the most terrifying
thing. That's true. Yeah, but
not terrifying like scared. You're just, it's more like a respect scared kind of thing. Like he could somehow put you in jail forever or something. Like he has the most power of anybody that you've in your whole life.
Yeah, that was me, but for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Yeah,
it was terrifying. But it's funny because like one of the helper guys, it wasn't the coach, but well, it wasn't Robbie Glantz himself, but
no, he doesn't
no,
lift a finger.
No, he does. But it was one of the, it wasn't a high school kid. It was like a more, an adult that worked there or something, or maybe it was a helper, one or the other. At one point we were doing a little exercise where it's like you squat and you extend your leg to work on your stride, you know, and it's obviously, it's an exhausting thing of squatting and like, you know, and so he's starting the drill and I was just not starting yet because I was like, well, he's been talking. I'm not going to squat while he's talking for fucking ever. And some dude was just like, tapped me with a stick and was like, hey, start squatting. And I was like, I'm not a kid. What the fuck? I'll squat when I'm goddamn good and ready to start squatting. I paid to come here and ruin my body. Like I'm doing that on my own, you know, that's my own thing. I don't need anybody to work me harder or something. And then like, I think he realized it because he was like, oh, yeah, you're catching a breather. Okay, never mind. Like, I think he just did it instinctively, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, you're catching a breather. Yeah, sure, good. And he like walked off. It was so funny. God, I was like, what are you doing?
I remember that feeling just when we do the skills and drill stuff, and I can't do any of the skate. I could never do any of the skating drills, and they would like yell at me. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I don't have to be here. Like, I could just fucking leave. I don't even want to do this. Why did I pay to get yelled at?
Power over me. Yeah.
The idea of being an adult and paying someone to yell at you about something is the most impossible.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I don't know. I also kind of like it, but like only if it was up front, like this dude's going to work you hard, whatever. But it wasn't, you know, like Nah, that would be stupid. Never mind.
Yeah, it's never.
It's not going to work.
I could never get into
it. You could always just leave. But as a kid, you feel like I'm going to die if I don't do.
Yeah.
Or at least I did. Yeah, and that's what I wonder. Like, because I know some of the kids just don't ever do what anybody says. Yeah. And that wasn't me. Like, I would, you know, I don't know if it's because our dad or whatever, but like, I would do what any adult said for a while.
Yeah. I kind of did. I remember getting in trouble a lot for messing around in practice because it's so boring.
Oh, man.
Well, I feel like we should give the people an extra long sode or something since we were gone.
Well, I was going to, we got to do like another one or something because we got to try to get, we got to get our quota for the month. So what do you want to do?
Another one.
Well, yeah. How do we want to handle this? Meeting of the board members of Comedy Shoeshine.
I have more stuff. You want to do.
All right. Well, maybe we cut it off here and then just record more. What do you think?
Okay.
We'll do a double. All right. Well, that was this episode.
Whatever.
Thanks for listening. We've got a lot more Robbie Glass power skating to come.
Part two will be in-depth discussion of each drill.
Yeah. Where did Robbie come from? What did he?
That makes him tick.
So good. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. It'll be released right away, but it's a double. It's a double. It's a walk-off because we need to do two. We owed you two. We're gonna do it.
This has been a Comedy Shoeshine. Find us online at comedyshoeshine.com or like us on facebook.com/comedyshoeshine. Definitely follow us on Twitter @comedyshoeshine. And most importantly, help keep the podcast going at patreon.com/shoeshine.
Now enjoy the rest of this badass song.